All right, Hebrews chapter 11 tonight, if you stand to your feet, one more time. Didn't them kids do good tonight? Amen. They done a wonderful job singing, "I'm saved to the uttermost. Thank God for His salvation." Amen. And He does say to the uttermost. But let's look in Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 32. Hebrews 11, verse 32. "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of..." Now notice how they done that. Who through faith? Just trusting God. Believing that God could do the work tonight. "Quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong." Well, thank God for that. "Waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, a bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sown asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." You can be seated tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you for being saved to the uttermost. Lord, we thank you for coming by and speaking to our heart one Sunday night. And I am so thankful for that. And Lord, we ask you tonight, as we get ready to preach, that you touch us and anoint us afresh this evening. Lord, we just need something from heaven, need you to come by and that speak to folks' hearts and deal with mine tonight, and just strengthen us according to your word. Lord, there may be somebody here tonight that's lost without you, that don't know you. I pray they'd come to be saved. Help the one that needs strength, comfort, direction, encouragement in their heart. But Lord, I pray we'd see out the word of God what we need to see tonight. Again, we ask for help from heaven and say that sinner's nearest tale for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Before I start tonight, I would like to say, as on the way to church tonight, was thinking about, I'm glad somebody told me the story of Jesus. Oh, I'm so glad of that tonight. That somebody, a Sunday school teacher, a mother, a father, a grandmother, that cared enough to tell me about the story of Jesus. Amen. And because of that, is why I'm here tonight.
Yes.
And boy, I thank God for that. Amen. That I learned who he was at an early age, and at 14 years old, got saved. And boy, I'm thankful for that tonight. But as we look at Samuel tonight, in Hebrews chapter 11, as he begins to finish up, the writer begins to finish up this chapter, and I don't know exactly how we'll deal with David when we come to him, if God will let us move fast or slow through that, I hope fast. But he comes to the end, and he talks about Samuel. And Samuel is part of the prophets, and it says that they, through faith, subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions. We know who done that tonight. Amen. Daniel was capable and able to do that by God's help tonight. Talked about how they quenched the violence of the fire. Reckon who that was. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. I believe that was Gideon. Waxed valiant in fight. And turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Boy, you remember that Shunammite woman over there that had, when Elisha come by, and he said, "What can I do for you?" And she wasn't telling nothing. She had built him, her and her husband had built him a little prophet's chamber out there. And he said, "What would I do for you? What would you have me to do?" And he had finally, his servant come to him and said, "She's childless." And so he said, "Next year about this time, says, you'll have a son." And she said, don't pull my leg, basically is what she said. "Don't be lying to me." And about that time next year, she had a son. And it was sometime later in his life, as the lad was growing, the Bible said that he went out there with his father and out to work in the field, and he cried, "Oh, my head, my head." And there was a servant took him back to his mother, and by the time that she got there, she laid him on his lap, and by dinner time he had passed away, and she took him and laid him on the man of God's bed there in the prophet's chamber. And you know what? Elisha come back and raised that boy from the dead. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. I want to take your Bible tonight and go over the book of 1 Samuel 19. Now, the last time we've seen Samuel, Samuel that was anointing David to be king over the nation of Israel. If you remember, he looks at all that Jesse had to offer, all them boys he passed before Samuel, and God said none of them is going to be king. And so finally Samuel said, Jesse, do you have another? And he said, I've got one more out in the field keeping the sheep. And Samuel said, we're not going to sit down till he gets here. And boy, I'm telling you, I believe Samuel couldn't wait for David to get there. And boy, when he come through, he anointed him and made him king by the word of God, and that over the nation of Israel. But in 1 Samuel chapter 19, we find that Saul has been in that cut off from God. Because in chapter 15, you'll find that he disobeyed God by not going down to Amalek and wiping them all out. If you remember, he come back in 1 Samuel chapter 15. He had King Achak with him. And the people brought back all the best and that of the animals and that to perform sacrifice. And God had told them, go down there to Amalek and utterly destroy everything that's down there. But he did not do that. And so after God had rent the kingdom from Saul, the Bible says that Samuel didn't go to Saul anymore. But we find a time in 1 Samuel 19 that David has become, if you would let me say this, he's become the one that's playing the harp and that before King Saul. There's an evil spirit in that that's come upon him. And when David would play that harp before the king, it would drive that evil spirit away from King Saul. Don't tell me music ain't got something to do with the spirit tonight. Amen. Because it does. Good music, I believe, can stir in the heart of believers and bring the Holy Spirit, if you'd let me put it that way, and stir the Holy Spirit inside. I ain't talking about words. I'm talking about music tonight. What's played off these things right over here. They can be wicked music and that to draw the devil. But look in verse 1 of chapter 19. I'm going to read fast, okay? And Saul spake to Jonathan his son and all his servants that they should kill David. Look, he's there. King Saul's after David. He's got that evil spirit in him. And he wants to kill David. Why? Remember, they went out and they went to battle and they come back and said, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. And Saul became jealous and that of David. And he knew the kingdom was rent away from him. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and hide and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see I will tell thee. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee word very good. For he did put his life in his hand, and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Talking about Goliath over there when he killed him. Thou sawest it and didst rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without cause? And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past. And there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines, and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul, and he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David, even to the wall with the javelin, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Now imagine what's going on right here. Jonathan has sued and that King Saul for a little while. But when the battle come back on and David went out and he conquered and that those of the Philistines, there's an evil spirit that come up on King Saul. And as David was in there playing, Saul takes that javelin and throws at him. David must have been quick, mustn't he? He got out of the way. Verse 11, Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. So now he's got detectives on the move there, don't he? Got some private eyes sitting out and watching. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, if thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. Now understand what's going on. She's made a fake body and put it in the bed and took goat's hair and laid it up there at the top and made it appear as if David was in the bed. Y'all catching on? Boy, it gets exciting, don't it? I mean, Saul sent detectives and that to find David, and Michael's done got him hit out, slid him down through a window, and made a fake body in the bed. I'm telling you, Hollywood ain't got nothing on this, man. I'm telling you, it gets good here. And so it says right here, and Michal took that image in verse 13, and when Saul, verse 14, sent messengers to take David, she said, he is sick. And Saul sent messengers again to see David, saying, bring him up to me in the bed, that I may slay him. Boy, he really wanted to kill him, didn't he? He said, bring the bed and all, I'm going to kill him. And when the messengers were coming in, behold, there was an image in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. And Saul said unto Michal, why hast thou deceived me so, and sent away mine enemy, that he escaped? And Michal answered Saul, he said unto me, let me go, why should I kill thee? So, she lied, didn't she? But again, King Saul was trying to kill David. Now, watch what happens in verse 18. So David fled and escaped, and came to Samuel, to Ramah. Boy, he got to where the man of God was. That was important in that day. And said here, he said, and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naoth. And it was told Saul, saying, behold, David is at Naoth in Ramah. And Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. And when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. And then went he also to Ramah, and came to a great well that is in Sepchu, and he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And one said, behold, they be at Naoth in Ramah. And he went thither to Naoth and Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth and Ramah. And he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all day and all that night. Wherefore they say, is Saul also among the prophets? So as Saul is trying to hunt down David. Now get this in your mind, what's beginning to take place. He's really wanting to kill him, and David escapes, and he runs to the one person that could help him, and that was Samuel. You say, why did he run to Samuel? Hey, listen, God had made Samuel the prophet and the judge, and that over all Israel, and gave Samuel that great power, and that with God. You say, how is that, preacher? Because Samuel was a man of faith. If you want great power with God, then you're going to have to be a woman or a man, and that of great faith with God tonight. I thought about that over the past few little while, I guess 2 or 3 weeks, and that about having power with God. But how do we get power with God? What was it that Paul said over there? He said the messenger of Satan has come to buffet him, and he besought the Lord Christ that it might be taken from him. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. For in thy weakness thou art made strong. And Paul said, I would rather and that have infirmities and all those things that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So I've been thinking about what problems bring in our life. What was it that tribulation brings? Tribulation can bring the power of God in our life if we look to Him, but it'll also bring patience in our life also. That's just a little commercial about what will come down the road later on. But I want you to see right here as David runs to Samuel, what takes place. The Bible said right here that Saul sent the first set of messengers down there. And when they come in that to Naoth, they see Samuel standing there appointed over the prophets. And when the messengers get there, they begin to prophesy. Boy, can you imagine in that? Can you imagine when they went back and told Saul what happened? Can you imagine? Hey, when we got over there, David is at with Samuel, and all the prophets are there, and Samuel's there. And by the way, can you imagine what Samuel looks like at this time? Samuel's an old man. I mean, he talks about some chapters back, he said, I'm already gray-headed, I believe he was fixing to retire if he thought he was going to, and he said, I'm already old. He said, if I've done anything wrong, took anything that didn't belong, I'll restore it to whoever. But right here, those messengers come, and they begin to prophesy. The second time, the same thing over again. The third time, the same thing over again. They get there and they begin to prophesy. I can imagine when that third bunch went back and told King Saul, man, when we got down there in the presence of Samuel and around those prophets, man, we just began to prophesy. I don't understand why God works that way and what all He wanted to do right there, but I do know this, that He was trying to show King Saul that he was still in control. Verse 23, that Saul went down to Naoth. And the Bible said after he found out where they were, that he went thither to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah, and he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. So I believe that Saul has learned right here that God, you would think he would learn, that God is still in control. Samuel had power with God. David ran to the right place. Hey, I'm going to tell you, you don't run to me, I'll help you tonight. But I'm going to tell you, if you'll run to the Son of God when you're in trouble, He'll help you tonight. I love that old song. I've been trying to sing it, been trying to remember it. I prayed my way out of trouble. Well, I'm telling you, if you're in trouble tonight, you can come, you seek God, you pray your way out of trouble. Well, I'm glad there's somebody that can hear me tonight. But by the time we get over to chapter 25, we don't see much of Samuel anymore until we get to chapter 25. And just a few things is said about Samuel in verse 1. And Samuel died in chapter 25. And all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David rose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. So we find that Samuel in chapter 25 dies. He goes on in that from this world. But that's not the last time we see Samuel. You say, how is that not the last time we see Samuel? Take your Bible and go to 1 Samuel chapter 28. Now this is going to get sticky for some of you right here. And most of you know where I'm at if you know your Bible. But we find that Saul has been chasing David. He never quit. He, during his time from when Samuel died till when we get over here to chapter 28 and chapter 29, we find that Saul is still chasing David. And David would get the upper hand on him all the time. As a matter of fact, there was a time when Saul and his men were sleeping in a cave, and God caused a deep sleep and that to come upon Saul and his men. And David snuck in the cave. You ever watch that on TV when you just think somebody's going to get caught? And boy, you rub your hands and you worry and all these things. And you find that David sneaks into that cave. And for lack of better words, he cuts his shirt tail off and he carries it out. And so he gets on the other side over there. And when he wakes up, he tells the king, he says, look and see what I've done. He said, I could have killed you while I was over there. He said, why didn't David kill King Saul? He said, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. It was God that had anointed Saul to be king over Israel, and David was not going to touch him. Pray for my throat tonight. But we find a time that now the Philistines in chapter 28 is against King Saul. And we begin to read in verse 1, it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. You know, the Philistines was always the enemy of Israel. Do you know that? Always the enemy. Do you know you've always got an enemy? Amen, preacher. You've always got an enemy. Tonight, mine's my throat, I believe. And he said right here that he gathered warfare in the fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, know thou surely that thou shalt go out with me to battle, and thou and thy men. Now you got to understand, David has took up with the Philistines at this time. And King Achish has told David, said, you'll go out to fight with me against Israel. And David said to Achish, surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever. Verse 3, now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits, and the wizards out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. And then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit. Uh-oh. Now, notice he has inquired of the Lord, and the Lord has quit talking to King Saul. God has rejected Saul from being king and that over Israel. God has rejected from anything from talking to Saul. He is done with King Saul. So instead of that, to continue in that, to try to deal with the Lord and get the Lord to deal with him, he turns in that to some wicked ways. He said, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment. And he went, and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring him up, whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul has done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits, and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth. I've always wondered about that. He's going over here and he's dragging up a woman, a witch, that's got a familiar spirit that she's going to deal with. And he says, as the Lord liveth. Now, let that sink in for just a second. He says, as the Lord liveth. He's talking to a wicked woman standing right here that's fixing to do a wicked thing. And said, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. And then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said, unto Saul, I saw God ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me, and answered me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee and is become thine enemy? And the Lord hath done the him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hands of the Philistines. Then Saul fell straightway all alone on the earth and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel, and there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all the day nor all the night. Now, imagine and think about what's going on. The Lord's no longer with King Saul, and he's went and hunted him up a witch to do the work and that of God. You know what the Lord said? Imagine this woman right here. As a matter of fact, it talks about her at one point saying, talking about having a familiar spirit and with the wizards. Now think about the kind of company that he's keeping right here. The Bible said in the book of Leviticus chapter 19 under the law, he said, regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. So as he's going to go and chase after a familiar spirit, in other words, a spirit in that of the underworld, he's trying and that to get some kind of answer of to know what to do. Leviticus chapter 20 said, a man also or woman hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones, or blood shall be upon them. Deuteronomy chapter 18 said, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, and a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer, for all these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. So imagine that he is now turned and that to a woman that is dealing and that with the devil. Said, preacher, that's just fairy tale. Oh, no, it ain't fairy tale stuff. Why do you think the Lord told them in that to get away from that kind of stuff? Hey, that stuff was real then, and I'm going to deal with what he done, and it's real now. Now, I'm glad that Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave, and all these things, and he sets up his Holy Spirit in our life when we got saved. But friend, I'm going to tell you, the devil is real. His devils are real tonight, and they're up there, and that to bother us, to oppress us, and they will, and that possess people that are unsaved. But what does he do? Saul comes to this woman that has a familiar spirit, and she says, I can't do that because Saul has told us not to. And he says, don't worry about it. As the Lord liveth, I'll make sure nothing happens. So she said, who do you want me to bring up? I don't know if she had a crystal ball. I don't know what she was working with. I don't know what was going on. But she brought up, and that's Samuel. Verse 12, and when the woman saw Samuel, preacher, do you really believe that she brought up Samuel? I do. Now, there's a lot of controversy and a lot of argument about whether that was Samuel. And I heard a preacher the other day on the radio didn't believe that was Samuel. And that's fine. I ain't going to argue the point tonight, but I want to show you why I believe that this was Samuel. She said, look, she said, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. See, she began to put some things together, didn't she? And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And she said, I see the gods ascending out of the earth, or coming up. And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped and bowed his face to the ground and bowed himself. Now, preacher, why do you believe that that was Samuel that she called up? First of all, if you notice, they begin to talk about that they were brought up. Even Samuel says right down there, and Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? At this time, paradise was in the heart of the earth. before Christ and that ascended back and that to heaven. When a man or a woman died, you had the hell side of paradise and you had the paradise side of paradise, if you'd let me say that. You remember in Luke chapter 16 when Abraham was talking to the rich man over there and he says, can you send Lazarus that he may get the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And you remember what he said? He said, there's a great gulf between me and thee. He wasn't talking about between heaven as we know it in the skies tonight in the third heaven and hell beneath. He's saying, look, there's a great gulf fixed between us down here in the heart of the earth. Take your Bible and go to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Go to Ephesians 4 with me tonight. Now, I'm telling you why I believe what I believe tonight and why I'm preaching. You got to understand that paradise was in the heart of the earth. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8. Let me back up. Verse 4. There's one body, one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same that also ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Well, what's that got to do with anything? He said before he ascended, he is the same that descended into the lower parts of the earth. Verse 8 said that when he ascended on high, that he led captivity captive. When they were in paradise, they were captive. When they were in Abraham's bosom, if you'd let me say that. When there's a lot of things that took place in those 3 days that Christ, that his body was laying in the tomb, that he was in the heart of the earth. There's a lot of things down there that I don't understand nor know as to what took place. But I believe in reading this right here, I believe at one point in one time, he went to paradise and gathered all them up and took them back with him. I believe that's why the Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah there that hell is enlarging itself. Paradise was taken away and hell can now enlarge itself. It makes me nervous when I begin to read and see where volcanoes are fixing to erupt. You say, what do you mean it does? But you say, it's just a work of nature and a work of our earth. Hey, it makes me wonder when all that stuff is blowing out of the heart of the earth, if it just ain't making itself bigger down there. You know, there's one in Russia, I've been reading here in the past few days, a volcano there that they thought was dormant, and now that thing's got seismic activity on it, and they're saying that it can erupt at any time. Y'all remember Mount St. Helens? Some of y'all remember that. You're old enough to remember. I was a little bitty fella when that thing blowed off up there. It gets destructive. I believe God in that allows hell to increase itself. Why is that? Because there's more and more people slipping off into it all the time. You know, I'm going to say it again. We live sheltered right here in Athens, Tennessee, Sweetwater, Tennessee, Englewood, Etowah, Tennessee, wherever you might live, 10 Mile, Tennessee. And we don't see, but if we could stand up above the world and could see all the people that are slipping off, just constantly dying around the world. Reckon how many of them are saved versus the lost, slipping off into hell. But he goes down into the heart of the earth and that to gather his people. You say, well, what does that got to do with anything? Well, they weren't in heaven as we call it heaven. They were in paradise. And then next you have to realize who had the power of death. You say, well, didn't God? Hebrews chapter 2 says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself took part of the same, talking about Christ Jesus the Lord, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Now when you understand that, where paradise was, and when you understand who had control of death at this time in the Old Testament, it might change your mind about some things. Now granted, God still allowed and God still had power and God done, because if you remember, He told Job, or told Satan over there, He said, you can go over there and you can touch his body, but don't take his life. So God still had control over it all now. Don't think I don't believe that. But I want you to look what happens. I believe this is what teaches us something right here. As you look in Scripture, as he perceived that it was Samuel, Samuel said, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Now let me say something else before I move on. The occult is real. Devil worship is real. Voodoo is real. All that stuff is real tonight. You better get a hold of that in your mind. And Disney has made fun of it for years and got us used to making fun of all of it, hadn't it? I mean, I grew up with Samantha. She could twinkle her nose, right? No bewitched. I mean, I remember watching it in black and white. We're talking about that tonight, watching black and white cartoons. But she could twinkle her nose and fly on her broom at her when it come on and all those things and make everything happen. And we think it's cute and we think all of these things. But I'm going to tell you, when you mess with the occult and you mess with devil worship and all those things that's going on in the underworld, hey friend, I'm telling you, there's nothing good going to come out of that. And there's nothing good going to come out of it right here. Now I honestly believe that she has called up Samuel. I do. You may not believe that. I do tonight. And I'm going to keep showing you why. I keep saying that, so let me show you. Then said Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee and is become thine enemy? He said, what did you bother me for? He said, God's your enemy and he's not showing you things. What do you think I'm going to do for you? And the Lord hath done, and the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand, and giving it to thy neighbor, even to David. Well, you say, well, preacher, you know, the devil could have conjured up something and appeared in that to be Samuel. He would have known all this stuff right here. From verse 18. Because Abel, it's not the voice of the Lord, nor executes his fifth wrath upon Amalek. And therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Now here's another reason I believe this was Samuel, verse 19. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. And the Lord also shall deliver the hosts of Israel in the hand of the Philistines. The devil knows the past, but he does not know the future tonight. And here you've got Samuel telling him, look, tomorrow you're going to be with me. Tomorrow you're going to be dead and be in paradise. Now there was one comfort about that whole situation right there. Saul was going to get to paradise. So then Saul fell straightway all along the earth and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all the day nor all the night. Now get him to eat bread. Samuel tells him, you did not obey the voice of the Lord. You didn't destroy Amalek. Tomorrow you and Israel is going to be taken by the Philistines. And tomorrow you and your sons are going to be with me. I believe it was Samuel. I believe, and I don't want to use this word, we'll just say call up. I believe she called Samuel up out of paradise. You may not understand it. You may struggle to grasp it. All you got to do is believe it. I struggle to grasp how that Jonah was swallowed by a whale and 3 days later was vomited out on the ground and went back into the city of Nineveh. I said, I didn't believe it. I said, in my mind, that thing's so hard to imagine, ain't it? Logically. But I'll say it like this. I don't remember which preacher it was that said it, what old time preacher said it. If the Bible said that Jonah swallowed the whale, I'd believe it. Amen. If this book says it tonight, I'm going to believe it. So what happened, preacher? If you go over to chapter 31, because David has not went and fought with the Philistines. The Philistines got ready to go to battle with David on their side. And they said, well, what happens if we get in the heat of battle and he turns and wants to fight for Israel? Said, we better not let him go. So when he comes back over there to Ziklag, he finds out that it's all been burnt down and they carried everything off. So David's off trying to chase all that down while the Philistines and Israel's fighting. And so tomorrow has come in chapter 31. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Melchishua, Saul's sons. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded, the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took his sword and fell upon it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he and likewise upon his sword and died with him. So Saul died, and his three sons and his armor bearer and all his men that same day together. And when the men of Israel were on the other side of the valley, and they were on the other side of Jordan, saw that the men of Israel fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled, and the Philistines came and dwelt in them. And it came to pass on the morrow, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his three sons fallen in Mount Gilboa. And they cut off his head and stripped off his armor, and sent it into the land of the Philistines round about to publish it in the house of their idols and among the people. And they put his armor in the house of Ashtaroth, and they fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. So it happened just like Samuel said it's going to happen. Said, tomorrow the Philistines are going to get you. You know why all that happened to King Saul? Because of disobedience, rebellion, and stubbornness. That's exactly what got him. But as I finish reading this chapter, I come to this part in chapter and verse 11. And I love this part. And when the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard of which the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan and came to Jabesh and burnt them there. And they took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. You say, what do you like about that? There were still some men that cared enough about King Saul and his sons that they were willing to go risk their life just to get his old dead body. To keep it from being paraded, to keep it from being, to say a better word, as King Saul said over there, to be abused, even though they'd already cut his head off, he'd already lost his life. These men, these valiant men, they rode all night to go get those bodies and burned them and then buried them. Samuel was a prophet's prophet. Even in death, he was still a prophet's prophet. God allowed all that to happen, I have no doubt. But you know why King Saul clung to Samuel so much? It was Samuel that anointed him. It was Samuel that led him all them years until he finally just got rebellious on God and wouldn't do what needed to be done. And wouldn't go and fight like he was supposed to fight. And you know, the Bible even tells us there at one point that Samuel just kept on mourning over King Saul until finally the Lord had enough and said, Samuel, how long are you going to mourn over King Saul? He says, time to quit mourning. Get up. And he says, I want you to go anoint a new king. Saul had one of the greatest prophets that Israel ever had. And he's still done wrong. I would like to think that you have one of the greatest preachers you'll ever have. Probably not. But I do know that you got the greatest book in front of you that you'll ever have. We know what's going to happen. We know the outcome. I mean, we know the outcome if we disobey God. We know the outcome if you die lost tonight, what's going to happen. This book's always true. There's a rebellious spirit in us that has to be put down tonight. And when we get our flesh crucified and that to the Lord, well, we've got a great way with that and done a great way with that tonight. Samuel was a prophet that lived by faith tonight. I want to encourage you tonight to follow the Lord in everything. Don't rebel. Don't be stubborn. Don't be self-willed. Because I'm going to tell you, when you get in that position where God's cut you off, you can come back and you can cry out to Him. But you know what? The damage may already be done at that point. The damage, by the time He went and called up Samuel over there, the damage was done. Tomorrow was coming, and there wasn't nothing that could happen that was going to change that. Let's bow our heads tonight across the house. Maybe you need to come and pray tonight. I hope the message has been a help to you. I really do. I know it's a little different, but I pray it's been a help to you. Don't be like King Saul, but be like Samuel and be faithful to the very end. Have power with God and act to the very end, just like Samuel did as he was standing over there and those men would come and they would begin to prophesy. There stood Samuel. Boy, he stood between those men and David. Be like Samuel. Sometimes you need to intercede for somebody. Do you know that you might need to stand in the way for somebody else? Your children tonight, stand in the way. Hey, husband, stand in the way between the enemy and your home. I'm trying to stand in the way of the enemy and his church tonight. If you need to come and pray, I want you to come now. Maybe you've never been saved. You don't know the Lord Jesus tonight. Boy, I beg of you tonight, I want you to know He came in love and went to Calvary and died for you to pay for your sins so that you could be saved and go to heaven. If you've never trusted Him, I want you to come tonight and trust Him. Anybody in the house needs to come.